T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
As we settle into the Kia Studios here on the home of the Falcons, I got to get Duke Riley.
Right off the bat.
I got to get Duke Riley.
All right.
And I got to get Dan Quinn. And I got to get the AJC. Here's why. All offseason, Duke Riley, banging the drum. Doom, 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 doom. Duke Riley's killing it. Having a great offseason. He's been explosive. He's been smart. He's been healthy. Everything's cool. We get to the first preseason game, and he was the worst Falcon on the field. The worst. I grade him an F for that football game. And it's not just the TD that was given up to Isaiah Crowell. There were other breakdowns. He was lost in space, confused, didn't know who to cover, didn't know where to be. And so Dan Quinn comes out after the game, and I read the headline, and it said that he saw improvement and an improved technique in Duke. What? Are you serious? Come on, Dan. Keep it real, man. How can you come after a game like that and say that? And then you have the AJC saying, team sees improvement in Duke Riley. Then you have me keeping it super real on Twitter, asking people, are you happy with Duke Riley's performance against the Jets, yes or no? Obviously, I wasn't. 89% of people are saying no, they weren't. 11% of people are saying yes, they were. And I want to dap up the Falcoholic because the Falcoholic agrees with me. And they even went a step farther, talking about Duke Riley's roster spot is in jeopardy. And I'm not willing to go that far yet, but I did not like what I saw from Duke Riley. It wasn't even close to Falcons football, John.
No, he did not play well in my estimation. And again, the coaches watched the film a hell of a lot closer than we do. So maybe there were technique things that they liked out of Duke Riley.
John, I love you. To me, it's spin.
It's spin
by the coach.
What I was going to say is I'm not buying it. What I saw in space was everything that you saw in space. The play that Isaiah Crowell scores, he's running a crossing route in front of Duke Riley. He doesn't take the right angle. He doesn't widen enough in coverage. Crowell catches it, and he runs away from it and runs into the end zone. That can't happen. What we've heard all offseason was he's better in coverage. He's better in space. Remember, he was a year ago a guy that missed a bunch of tackles, was averaging like one or two missed tackles a game. When he was around the ball, I think he was getting guys to the ground on Friday night. But the coverage-wise, if you're willing to use Devondre Campbell to rush a little bit more, and obviously they weren't showing any of that on Friday night. Devondre barely played. Deion barely played. Duke did get a little bit more of a run, as I think they were trying to give him opportunities to go out there and make plays. If Devondre is going to be a guy in some situations that rushes, you need Duke Riley to be able to cover guys in space. And In my estimation, I thought he struggled on Friday night.
So here's the deal. You experiment in the preseason, and you have not heard me get out in front of my skis yet because I'm not going to do it. Mm-hmm. I feel like I did that a little bit with Julio Jones. Now, I did call my shot correctly, saying, when he scrubbed social media, everybody's like, there's nothing to see here. I said, yeah, there is. And I was right about that. And I was right about the potential holdout with sitting out the voluntary stuff and the mandatory stuff. Now, I feel like based on him taking 2.9 to come back and kiss and make up, I feel like I was wrong to call him a diva receiver, all right? And I take that back. But I'm not getting too far out here with Duke Riley. I'm not talking about his roster spot being in jeopardy. I'm not talking about, we need to scrap all plans of Devondre Campbell rushing the passer. We need him in coverage. I'm not getting ahead of myself here. I'm in a vacuum of Friday night in the offseason and the immediate reaction to Duke Riley. That's the house I'm living in right now. And it's uncomfortable because I've found to be a keep it real guy. Mm-hmm. Now, he won't go in on a guy, but he'll bring up, I was disappointed. That wasn't the effort we were looking for. So to hear him come out and say that he sees improved technique from Duke Riley after an abysmal game, it's a little weird to me. Causes me to shrug my shoulders a little bit. So not getting ahead of myself because John, guess what? If Duke Riley comes out against the Kansas City Chiefs and has a rock star game, I don't want to look like a butthead. All right. So I'm not calling for the guy's job or his head or anything like that. I'm just calling him out for a terrible game on Friday night.
I'm going to give you some of the positives I took from it. And again, you guys can chime in 404-741-0929. It's our Solomon Brothers Diamond Text Line phone line as well. Here's three things that stood out for me on the positive side from the Falcons and the Jets. First of all, DeMonte Casey, He looks like he's taking the next step. We've heard.
Did we pay the wrong safety? I'm just not, kidding, yeah, Rico. On, I got jokes on. This morning. I'm just kidding.
Now, but DeMonte Casey lined up in the slot. He lined up at safety. He lined up everywhere. 11 tackles. And when he was around a ball carrier, it didn't matter who it was, that guy was going to the ground. He looked like a heat-seeking missile.
Let me just add real quick what I really appreciated from Casey. We know he brings the thumper and all that, like Keanu Neal does. He'll knife in mm-hmm. on, you know, a guy will miss a tackle and he'll come clean it up. You know, he'll come from his spot, he'll just come knife in and barrel the guy's legs out and make that tackle. He did that a bunch on Friday.
Number two, positive. And every snap this guy was in the game, I watched him and was not watching where the ball was going. Deidre Sanot. He is going to be a load in the running game. Great low center of gravity. Was doing a good job. Like if the stretch run was running to his left and he's having to go to the left, he was able to stay engaged, keep his leverage, and make guys go away from where they want to. Once he gets this game down pat, and he's obviously a rookie and he's going to be learning a lot, but Deidre is a kid. Put him next to Grady Jarrett, and you're going to have something special for the years to come at defensive tackle. Now, he's not going to be a guy that's going to wow you with 8-9 sacks. That's not what he's going to be there for, at least not originally. His low center of gravity and his power, he's going to be a guy that's going to be a bear in the run game.
I loved it. I'll give you some of my takes here in a minute, but in case you didn't watch Friday or you're a little confused, he's number 94, mm-hmm. and he's huge. And look for him right over center or just off center.
The last thing that I took as a big positive, and I know a lot of people are going, who cares? It's just special teams. Justin Bethel and Russell Gage are going to be the best gunners in all the NFL. That will be the best gunning pair in the NFL. I watched Justin Bethel jab step right. They do the double team block on punt coverage, and they're supposed to just double team him. And usually you'll see the guy get driven out of bounds, and the coaches all have to run the hell out of the way, and he's trying to beat everybody back to get back on the field. Bethel takes the jab step outside and nice between the two guys. Boom. Nobody gets a hand on him, and he's unimpeded to the kick coverage. You see the same thing with Russell Gage. There's a reason they drafted him because those two guys, remember a year ago, Matt Bosher, there were times you'd give up some punt returns because you didn't have guys getting down the field. That will be the best group in the NFL, those two guys running down covering punts.
All right, so John's giving you three positives. Let me give you guys three positives. Tack McKinley.
Mm-hmm.
My homie, number 98, Tack McKinley. Johnny had three physical plays. So not only did he play, he was Tack.
Yeah.
And that meant so much to me, man. Three physical plays. Debo stacked up a tight end, and Tack came from the line of scrimmage on the backside and thumped the dude, and he's still feeling it. He threw down Bilal Powell at one point on a play, and he came free on a right side rush on Teddy Bridgewater and almost separated him from his football soul. Teddy got it just off before Tack got there. That was a major positive to me. You mentioned Casey. I want to mention Marvin Hall. The first play of the game covering the kickoff to the Jets, Marvin Hall has a physical tackle. Mm-hmm. You think about this guy is speedy with good hands and a punt returner and this little shifty guy. He had a very physical special teams tackle. That impressed me, and he made a nice catch in the game. He was also the first punt returner on the football field, which I think is an indicator that he may get that job. And I want to give one more shout-out. I do know that on Friday I said, I don't really care about on Thursday with you, I don't really care about the fullback thing. It's not a huge deal for this offense, and I still feel that way. But Ricky Ortiz, on one of the first plays from scrimmage, had a pancake block that might have won him the job just with that one play alone.
We'll spend some time talking about right guard in a second, but I know some guys want to sound off at 404-741-0929. Let's go to Jeff in the ATL. Jeff, what's up? Good morning. How you doing?
Good morning. So I'm a Jets fan, and when the Jets don't play, I root for the Falcons. And I just don't put a lot of stock in preseason. You know, the most important thing to me is that no one really got hurt. You know, the starters are playing one series for the most part. I mean, the Jets looked great, but I certainly am not worried at all about the Falcons. And I think that people blow it up way too much, and the Falcons will be fine. You know, preseason, the third game, obviously the starters are playing more. But at this point, you know, it's just to see who's going to, you know, fill out those few roster spots. So I think people just need to relax. Falcons have to have a heck of a team, and they're going to have a big season.
I appreciate the call. The one thing I would say to that is, you know, I don't put much stock into the preseason, and I don't really. Okay, you can't have it both ways with me and John. And I'm talking to our bosses right now. I'm talking to the Falcons and the Rise Up Nation. You can't have it both ways. We can't get paid to analyze every breath and every fart of the offseason and every play of the game and then just say, I don't put anything into the preseason. I don't believe that. Okay, 17-0, John, I put zero stock into that.
Mm-hmm.
Did the Jets beat us? No. They didn't beat Matt Ryan and Julio Jones and Devontae Freeman and Deion Jones and Keanu Neal. They didn't beat those guys. They didn't beat us, okay? But like we just talked about, in a vacuum, you look at Sanat. We liked what we saw, right? Mm-hmm. We liked what we saw from Casey, right? We didn't like what we saw from Duke Riley, right?
Yep.
Okay, so my point is, this isn't about the big picture and the win or the loss, to that caller's point. This is about individual performances that do matter. Mm-hmm. Do you think it matters right now to Duke Riley that he played like god-awful crap on Friday night? Do you think he's working a little bit harder in practice right now?
I'm sure he is.
Okay, so it matters. It does matter.
Yeah, for that individual part, yes. What I saw with blanket statements from a lot of people, Steve Sarkisian should be fired. Like, dude, stop. Stop. If he wasn't fired, what happened in preseason game one is not going to matter. Now, if he calls a horrible game in week number one against Philadelphia, okay, then you start getting that train going. There's not game planning that goes along. It's not like they're going, all right, the Jets like to do this, so we're going to attack here. And this, if you see, it's literally, we're going to run a couple of plays, and we're going to go that route. And that's it.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.